Okay, Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf Kaf Hei, daf 25. We left off on Kaf Dalet Amud Bet, 24b, in the middle of the page. Tanu Rabbanan, 24b. Tanu Rabbanan. Hikau al eno v'simea al ozno v'cheresha, eved yotzev en l'cherut. If he hits him, the slave, on his eye, and he blinds him, on his ear, and he deafs him, the slave goes free. Keneged eino veino roeh, keneged ozno veino shomeah, ein eved yotzeh ben lacherut. If it was opposite his eye or ear, that it, let's say, made a lot of noise, banging on a wall or something, and it caused him to be shocked and can't hear now, or can't see, that he doesn't go free. Amar Rav Shimon l'Ravashi, l'memra dekala l'plumu, is that to say that sound doesn't matter? V'atani Rami bar Cheskel, tanegol shehoshit rosho la'avir kli zchuchit, v'takabu shvaro, mishalem nezek shalem. This is a case in Baba Kama that if a chicken, it sticks its head into a glass vessel, and it scrouses a loud noise, it makes like a very loud noise, and it cracks the glass. What is the deen? They have to pay, the owner has to pay, nezek shalem, complete damage of what the damage cost it. Oh, so you see that sound does matter. So Amar of Yosef, Amri Beirav, Sus shetzanaf vechamor shenaar veshavur kelim etachabay neshalim chatzi nezek. If let's say you have a horse who neighs, he makes a neighing sound, or a donkey who brays, and they broke kelim in the house, they have to pay the half of the damage. So you see that noise does matter. Shamar le shane adam dekevan debarda tu iyum meba'in nafshei. No, a person is different since he has knowledge. He is the one that's causing himself to be shocked. So he is shocking himself, and therefore it would not require damage to be paid. Kedetanya, the bride says, Hamavi'it et chaverov. Somebody scares their friend. You're not allowed to do this. Someone scares their friend. He's patur midinei adam v'chayev midinei shamayim. He is exempt from liability in this world, but he is going to be liable in the world to come. If he shocks his friend and causes damage. Ketzad, how is that? So, taka be'ozno v'chayresho patur. If let's say you screamed in his ear and you caused him to be deaf, you're exempt. But if you grab him and you scream in his ear and you make him deaf, then you're liable. Okay? Huh? Because if you're grabbing him, if you're doing here, look at, I think there's a Rashi over here. No, Rashi. No, the point of the matter is what he's trying to say is just the noise alone. That is not, we're not requiring necessarily damage for that. And the only reason why we said for the
because it's indirect, but if you like grab him, it's
meaning, yeah, if you're physically hurt, damaging him, then you'd be liable. But if you just scream in his ear, that would not be liable in this world. That's what he's trying to say. Tanur Banan, right? This says, if he hit him on his eye and he caused him to be dimmer, or on his tooth and he caused it to start becoming wiggly, if he can still use those eye and tooth, the slave doesn't go free. If he cannot use them, then the slave goes free. Tanida, the writer then says, "Hare shaita eno kehuya v'simea, shino niduda v'ipila." His eye was already not so great, and the guy caused it to be blind. His tooth wasn't so good; it was wiggly, and he caused it to fall out. Im yachol yishlemesh ben kvar eved yotzeh ben lacherut. If he was able to use them before, and now he's not, then he goes free. Im lav ein eved yotzeh ben lacherut. But if not, the slave does not go free. So the Gemara says, "Utsurichan." We need both cases. Why do we need both cases? Di ashmeina nach kamaita. If we only said the first case, mishum demeikara nehora barya v'ashan nehora kechisha, because in the beginning he was perfectly fine, and now he has dimmed eyes. Aval hacha. But in this case, demeikara nami nehora kechisha emalo. But in the second case, that to begin with he was already dimmed eyes, maybe we would say, no, it's not the same thing, and it would not set him free. If we would have only taught the second case, because you caused him to be blind completely. But in the first case, you didn't cause him to be completely blind, just dimmed his eyes. I would have thought you would not set him free. That's why we need both cases, that you would set him free in both cases. Tan Rabbanan, the writer then says, if your master, if his master was a doctor, and the slave told the master, he said, "Can you paint my eyes? Can you give me some like medicine in the eye?" He played him, and he caused himself to be blind. Or he said, "Can you like scratch around my teeth I guess like a dentist. Can you do your dentist work around my teeth? And he popped out a tooth. He messed around with his master, and now he gets to go free because he knocked out an eye or a tooth. Rashbag, or he causes a slave to be blind. Rashbag omer, Rashbag says, v'shichata ad sheitchaven lishachata. No, he has to have intention for destruction. If the master didn't intend for that to happen, then you can't set him free on that basis. V'rabbanan, v'shachata mayavdile. What does the Rabbanan use, v'shichata, what do they use that word for? Mibayileo l'chidetanya, for the braita. R'bileyezer omer, harisho shit yadol im'ei shivchato v'simeh ubar shimeh patur. If you stick your hand in the womb of your maidservant and you blind the baby in the womb, you're exempt. My tama, what's the reason? The Amar Kral Pasuk says, V'shichata ad sheitchaven l'shachata. It has to be intended to cause damage. You're not intending to cause damage. Okay, V'idach, what does the other opinion say? V'shichet shichata nafka. It could have said shichet. Why is it V'shichata? Therefore, it's teaching us both dinim. Okay, V'idach, shichet shichata lo darish. And back to his opinion, he doesn't learn such a derasha. It could have said shichet, it said shichata. Therefore, he can only learn one thing. Amar sheshet. Haresha ita eno semuya v'chatata. Eved yotze ben l'cherut. If his eye was already, blinded, and he knocked it out, the slave goes free. Oh, why does he go free? My tama. Mechusar everhu. He's missing a limb now. V'tana tuna, we learned, the Tana taught, tamud v'zachrut v'hema, v'en tamud v'zachrut ba'ofot. When it comes to the korban ola, the sacrifice of the ola, it needs to be, that it's tam, it's perfect, there's no blemishes and zachrut, masculine, both of them have to be by a behema for the ola offering, for a regular behema. Whereas ve'en tamud v'zachrut ba'ofot, but you don't need to have the tamness, the flawlessness, and the masculineness of by birds or chickens. So the Gemara says, "Yachol yavvesha gapa nikta'a ragla nikhteta ina." Is it possible we could even use an ola, a bird offering, let's say, that its wing got all dried out and ruined, or his leg got cut off, or his eye got popped out? We could still use that. Talmud Lomar min ha'of velo kol ha'of. No, it needs to be min ha'of, meaning it can't be that one full limb of the bird's body is missing. So too, he tries to bring the raya that if one full limb of the slave's body was knocked out, even though his eye was blind, he knocked out the eye, if the master knocked it out, then the slave goes free. Amar Rechia Barashi Amarav, Haita lo yateret, if he had an extra finger, bechattecha, and it was cut, he cut it, the master cut it, eved yotze ben acherut, the slave goes free. Amarav huna, v'ush, and yisperet al gavyad, that's only if it's counted at the rest of the fingers, meaning, if it's like he has five and he has a sixth one, like sticking out, so it's like really is like counted with the rest of the five.
Sabe
de Nazonia lo ata de Pirkei de Rav Chisda. Oh, this is an interesting story. The elders of Nazonia didn't come to the drasha of Rav Chisda. Amar de Rav Imnuna, he said to Rav Imnuna, zil tzan inu. So Rav Chisda told Rav Imnuna, go and put them in excommunication. Azal amar lehu mai tama lo atu rabbanan lepirka. So Rav Himnuna went and asked them, why didn't you come to the drasha? Amrulei, he said, amai netu. Why should we? Amai neti. Why should we come? Divainen mine milta velo pashadlan. Oh, we ask questions, he doesn't answer us. Why should we come? So the Gemara said, amar lehu mi. You guys shouldn't come to shiur either. I don't answer your questions. No, I'm joking. Mi amar lehu. Did you ask something for me that I didn't answer for you? So they said, okay, what if a master made his slave a saris by taking off the beitzim, the testicles? So is that a public blemish or not? He didn't have the answer. He said, what's your name? He said, Hamnuna. So Amrulay, they said to him, Lav Hamnuna el Karnuna. You're not Hamnuna, you're Karnuna. You're Yosef Karanot. You're like, you play around, you don't know how to learn, you don't know Torah, you're not a Torah scholar. So Atta the Gemara Rav Chisda, he came in front of Rav Chisda. Amrulay, he said to him, Matnita Ba'u Minach, they asked a question from you. Ditnan, as the Mishnah says, Esrim Ve'arba'a Rashei Varim Sheba Adam. There's 24 main limbs, ahead of the limbs of the person, kulam en metamim mishum michiyah. None of them become tameh from michiyah. Michiyah is one of the ways of sarat when he's becoming a confirmed sarat and he gets a white spot. That would not make this tameh, these limbs tameh. Ve'elohem, these are the 24. Rashi etzbaot yadayim raglaim, the tips of the fingers and the toes. That's 20. V'rashei oznaim, the tips of the ears. V'rosh ha'chotem, the tip of the nose. V'rosh ha'givya, the tip of the private part. V'rashei dadim shveisha, and the tips of the nipples of the woman. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af shebeish, even of a man. V'tani alana was taught on this, Bekulam eved yotzei b'hem l'cherut. In all of these cases, the slave goes free if any of these things were chopped off. Rabbi Omer, Af haserus, even someone who's made a serus. Ben Azai Omer, Af halashon, even the tongue. Amar Mor, when Rabbi said, Rabbi Omer, Af haserus, serus demai, serus of what? Meaning which part of the body is being cut off. So, Ilem haserus degid, maybe it's talking about the actual private part. Hainu givya. That's what we just said though. We said that word givya already previously. So it must be elalav serus debetim. It must be talking about the master who makes his slave a serus, who's unable to have children, cutting off his testicles. That's what it's referring to. He goes free, and so therefore answer their question that he would go free. Rabbi Omer afa serus, even a serus. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi lashon lo, does Rabbi not hold that the tongue would set the slave free? Urmina, we have a contradiction. Hare mi shehaya mazeh. If let's say somebody was, there was a sprinkling process being done for tahora process for somebody who's tameh, and it sprinkled on someone's mouth. Rabbi Omer, hiza, Chachamim Omrim lo hiza. Rabbi says it counts as sprinkling. Chachamim say no, it doesn't. So my love al shono, is it not talking about on his tongue? The Gemara says lo, asfatav, it's talking about on his lips. Asfatav pshita. What's the problem? On the lips, obviously it's going to count. Why wouldn't that count? So the Gemara says, "Now the tema would have thought zimnin dechalim sefate. Maybe sometimes you close your lips tight, and your lips are not on the outside anymore, right? You go like this. Your lips are not on the outside anymore. Kamashmala, and then no, we would say it is on the outside. The Gemara says, 'Vatanya aleshono.' But the Braita says, 'On his tongue.' Ve'od tanya. Not only that, it said in the Braita, 'Veshenital rova lashon. Rabbi Omer rova medaber shubishono.' So what is it referring to? This is referring to in Bechorot." When do we say the Bechor is no longer, it becomes Pasul? When the majority of its tongue gets cut off. And Rabbi says the majority of the part of the tongue that's used to talk with, not the part that's attached to the mouth, rather the part that's detached, like the end part of the tongue. When the majority of that gets cut off. So what do you see though? That this part, it causes damage. It's something that if it gets damaged, then the person, the Bechor becomes Pasul as a Bechor. So therefore, what do you see? That he does be makshiv the tongue. So the Gemara says, Ela, Rabbi Omer, serus. Rabbi says, serus, someone who makes a slave, serus. And how much more so, obviously, the tongue. But he just didn't mention it. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, Lashon, ava serus lo. No, Ben Azai says only the tongue, not serus. So the Gemara says, why did it say in Ben Azai's opinion, even? He said, even the tongue. Is he not coming to add on to the serus? The Gemara says, no, akamaita. He's coming to add on the first 24 limbs, not the tongue. The Gemara says, yachi nekdema ben azai l'resha. So why don't we put Ben Azai first, let him say even the tongue on the 24 things, and then come and add Rebbe, who comes and says both things, both the tongue and the serus. So the Gemara says, tana sham'al de Rebbe k'vikav'a, v'sham'al de Ben Azai v'tanei, u'mishna lo zazam n'koma. This is how the Tana heard it. He heard Rebbe's opinion, he put it in. He heard the Ben Azai's opinion, he wrote it. And that the Mishnah never changed. That's how the teaching always stayed. And it never changed the order. That's just how it was taught.
So according to that, Ben Azai would say, Sirus doesn't work.
No. Sirus works, tongues doesn't work. No. Ben Azai is saying, Afa Sirus. Even Sirus counts. The question is, was Afa Sirus? So it's going on the first 24. Even the first... Even Sirus counts, including the first 24. So if 24 with Sirus, but not the tongue. So the Gemara is asking, why didn't you put him first, before Ben Azai, before Rebbe, where Rebbe says both things are included, both the tongue and Sirus. So the Gemara is saying that's how it was taught, that's how you learned it. Amar Ula, Hakol Modim Balashon Linyan Tumah, the Galuhi Oetzel Asheris, everyone agrees the tongue, by cases of Tumah, that it's concealed, considered a revealed part, when it regards to Asheretz. What do you mean? My tama? What's the reason? Asher igabo, if he touches it, Amar Chmana, v'hai nami bar negiyahu. The tongue is also something that can be touched. So therefore it can become tameh, it's considered revealed. Le'inyan tevila ketamundame. Everyone agrees that it's considered hidden when it regards to tevila. Tevila, when a woman is going to the mikveh, she has to go and every part of the body has to touch the water. Can't be that. Oh, so does she have to open her mouth? No? You have to get water in every part of your mouth? No. Why not? So it's part of the hidden part of the body. It's not part of the public part of the body. And so therefore you don't have to open your mouth. We shouldn't like close your lips tight. It has to be, you know, just, you know, you don't have to open your mouth for water to go in, but you shouldn't like tighten your lips. My tama, what's the reason? Verachatz besaro b'mayim, you bathe your body in the water. Amar Rachmanam, ma besaro ma barai, afkol ma barai, just like the body is on the outside, so to all of the parts that are on the outside, excluding the tongue. Lo nechleku ele inyan haza'ad, machloket is regards to sprinkling for purification. Rebbe medamela letum'ah, Rabbanan medamo la letvila. Rebbe compares it to tum'ah, that it's on the outside, and Rabbanan compares it to tevila, that it's on the inside. That according to Rebbe, if it was sprinkled on the tongue, it would work. And according to Rabbanan, if it was sprinkled on the tongue, it would not work. V'tarvay v'hai kraka miflegi. The machloket is on this pasuk. V'hiza ha-tahor al ha-tameh. The tahor sprinkles on the tameh person. Rebbe savar, Rebbe holds. V'hiza ha-tahor al ha-tameh b'yom ha-shalishu v'yom ha-shalishu v'chiteo. You sprinkle it on the third day and on the seventh day, and you purify him. What is he going to say? That it has to be, the way Rashi explains it, al tameh v'chiteo, chitui al mekom tumah ha-vechitui. On the place of tumah, that's where chitui takes effect. Right? That's what Rashi says. Wherever the place of tumah is. Whereas Rabbanan savri v'chiteo b'yom ha-shvi'i v'chives v'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim. No, it says he purified it on the seventh day, and then he went and he laundered his clothes and he went in the water, he went to the mikveh. Oh, so what do you see? That it's connecting the sprinkling to the going to the mikveh part. So therefore, the sprinkling has to fall in a place where it's ra'ui l'rechitza. It's fit for bathing. It's fit for the water to go in, and that's not the tongue. So therefore, the Rebbe would say that it can go on the tongue, and the Rabbanan would say it cannot. So the Gemara asks, "V'Rebbe nedamya l'tevila? Why doesn't Rebbe say it's similar to tevila?" So sorry, I skipped the line. V'Rabbanan nami nedamya l'tumah. Why doesn't the Rabbanan say it's similar to tumah? So the Gemara says tahara mi tahara havel lemilav, because he's learning purification from purification. We're talking about a case of purification. In what sense? When talking about tevila, and he's trying to learn out for hazaah, for sprinkling, purifying from purifying. Okay, so that's why he learned it from there. V'Rebbe nedamya l'tevila. Why doesn't Rebbe learn it from tevila then? V'chibes begadav hifsika inyan, because it says v'chibes begadav. That has nothing to do with this. That interrupts the concepts, and therefore they're not connected. V'savar Rebbe l'inyan tevila ketamundame. Okay, according to Rebbe, does Rebbe hold that? And this is interesting halakha. Does Rebbe hold that by tevila it's considered a hidden part of the body, and you don't have to keep your mouth open? V'ha'amar avin, amar avada, amar v'itzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, ma'aseh, there was an incident b'shivcha shal beit Rebbe shetavla, with a maidservant of the house of Rebbe who went to the mikveh. And they found a bone in her teeth. When she came out, there was a bone stuck in her teeth from before when she ate food. Oh, Rebbe tevila acher. Rebbe made her go back. Why do you have to go back? It's in the mouth. It's a hidden part of the body. And where says, Nehi de biat mayim lo baina. Okay, you don't need water to come in the mouth. Makom haraoi lavo bo mayim baina. But you need there be it to be fit, that if water were to come in, it would be able to fit in. Meaning, and so therefore, since there's a bone in there, that would not be fit. That's not considered fit, and therefore, that's not okay. There's lots of halakhic questions that comes out of this. If somebody has a, you know, a tooth replacement, if somebody has a silver tooth, somebody has like, you know, ear, what do you call them? Somebody has a hearing aid, and they put things in their ears. Lots of halakhic questions that come out of this, not to get into it, but this is the point. It has to be fit, but it doesn't have to go in. Where do we learn this? Because Rabbi Zera, this is all over Shas. Damar Rabbi Zera, kol ha-ra'oi la-bila, en bila ma'akevet bo. V'sheno ra'oi la-bila, bila ma'akevet bo. Anything that's fit for bila, what's bila? By the mincha offering, they understood that this kli for the mincha offering would be able to fit anything less than or equal to 60 parts of this, would be able to be mixed in this kli. Anything more than that would not be able to be mixed in this kli. So anything that's fit for mixing, meaning 60 or less, even if you don't mix it, it's fine, because it's fit for mixing, for the mincha offering. But if you put more than 60, then it would not be okay, because you're not able to mix it. Oh, they understood that only 60 parts would be able to be mixed for the mincha, and not more than that. That's where the idea comes from. So too over here, you only need it to be fit for water to go in, you don't actually need water to go in. So now the Gemara says, Katanei. We have a machloket tanaim regarding the question that the students of Savez and Azonia asked, if the master cutting off the testicles, is that considered a mum shuba galuy or not? So the Gemara says, the pasuk says umauch vechatut venatuk vecharut. What is the pasuk talking about? The testicles. How does it says you know, this type of animal, you shouldn't sacrifice the Hashem. If he's ma'uch or chatut, his testicles are crushed or they're cut in a type of way. So the Gemara says, Kulan bebeitim de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's all talking about the testicles, not the ever, not the actual limb. The Gemara says, bebeitim velo bagid, only the testicles. The Gemara says, Ela kulan af bebeitim. No, it's even with the testicles. De Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the private and the testicles. Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Omer, kulan begid. He says, no, all of them are talking about the actual private, not the testicles. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ma'uch vechatut af beitim, natuk vecharut, begid in bebeitim lo. When it says ma'uch vechatut, that's like crush, that's talking about even the testicles. Also the limb, but even the testicles. When it talks about cut or severed, that's specifically talking about the person's private and not the testicles. And that's the machloket Tanaim. If we consider the cutting of Beitzim, is that considered a mum shavagalui or not? That's up to this machloket Tanaim. So just look at the Rashi. Rashi says, here, don't even say, you know, if according to the one who says af beitzim, Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered a public blemish. Whereas according to the one who doesn't say af beitzim, then it would only the gid, in the case of the cutting or the severed, that would not be considered a public blemish. Okay, we'll stop there for today. A quick 1 minute recap. We started by the conversation on Amud Bet about kol. Do we say a person gets damaged when it comes to a kol, a voice that damages the person? That was question number one. Question number two was the question of the Save Nezunia. The elders of Nezunia, they asked, if a master cuts off his testicles of his slave, does that consider him to go free or not? That was the question that was asked. Part number three is, what about the tongue? Is the tongue also part of the body that would allow him to go free or not? It was also brought in the Gemara as a machloket. And part number four of the daf was this concept called kol ha-ra'u le-bila, ein bila me'akevet. Anything that's fit for the mincha offering, 60 or less parts, would be able to be mixed. So therefore, even if you don't mix it, it's kosher for the mincha. So too, anything that's fit for mikveh, even if they don't put water in the mouth, but if the water is fit to go into the mouth, there's nothing in the mouth, therefore, the mikveh would be kosher. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.